Hi, welcome back to the Mostly AI Smart Pod. I'm Susan Rush, and today I'm flying solo without my fellow NotBots, Michael and Victoria, so I can bring you a great discussion with Dr. James Stanger, Chief Technology Evangelist at CompTIA. Now, James has his finger on the pulse of the global IT infrastructure and workforce trends, and he's here today to tell us why the true future of IT belongs to automation. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Great. Well, you know, let's just jump right in. So, James, you know, many in tech, and let's face it, journalists like me, are kind of obsessed with the hipster versions of Mythos or Claude or ChatGPT, you know, hoping they'll just change how we do everything in IT. But I know you've said the real IT depends on that unglamorous world of infrastructure as code. So I'm really curious, you know, why is the foundation of automation the true hidden heartbeat of modern IT?
Thank you for asking that question, because I think it comes down to the single source of truth. It comes down to the idea of a blueprint. I think all of us know what it means to build a house. Well, actually, I don't know what it means to build a house because I'm afraid of all of the cost overruns and all the bad decisions that I would make and things like that. But when you build a building or a home, you have an architect create a blueprint. And with IT and tech, we've never really done that traditionally. Some organizations have. That's great. I'm sure there's this many organizations out of this many that have been able to start that way. But most of the time, we start things as we get into them. In other words, we just start kind of building. We have systems that we build today, and we have systems that we built 3 years ago and 5 years ago and 25 years ago. And they all kind of are working in this kind of strange little way that's kind of hodgepodge. Imagine if you can kind of redefine things a little bit and start with a single source of truth and start with an architect's plan. And that's that several lines, many lines of code that you can start. And everybody then agrees on the services, and everybody can say, yeah, here is where we begin. I don't think that is an illusory idea. I don't think that's just pie in the sky. It's the reality now. There's tech that allows us to kind of come up with a plan, and then we can execute on that plan.
Yeah, you know, kind of your building analogy is actually perfect for my next question. You know, you've painted a really interesting picture here. And, you know, kind of like what you were saying, you know, many enterprises build that automated future on top of legacy tech. You know, and when leaders try to force that flashy AI tools into an infrastructure that's still held together by manual configurations, you know, what kind of toxic combinations or technical debt, if you will, are they creating?
They are creating a lot of that technical debt. What happens, first of all, is you don't have your identity access management in order. If you don't have that foundation in order through your infrastructure as code, then you're going to end up with all sorts of gremlins going on. My analogy for that is I have an old, right out here on the other side of the wall, I have an old Toyota Land Cruiser. When I say old, it's almost as old as I am. It's a 1975. And I've had to do electrical work on that before. And if you don't get your grounds properly done, then you've got problems, right? You'll end up with a form of technical debt. And I finally redid all of the electrical system. And that's basically what I think digital transformation has turned into, is people understanding what it means to identify your identity access management, your DNS. And we're talking now foundations here. And you'd think that in an age of AI, DNS is not an issue. Well, actually, it's more of an issue than ever before. And if you've had that put together in a ramshackle sort of way, you're going to end up with pain later on. Technical debt, all I have are dad jokes when it comes to technical debt. What happens when you play a country record backwards, Susan? Right? You get your dog back, your house back, your wife back, you don't want to play that country record forward, okay, if you have this technical debt. And with the idea of getting your automation in order by using Ansible, for example, or using chef, puppet, whatever tool you want to use. This is not a vendor lock-in sort of discussion. It actually frees you up to make decisions later on. I was talking to a fairly recently to a CIO of a healthcare company of about $1 billion in revenue, $750 million. Not a huge company, but a big one. And he basically said he has to live in three time zones. And I'm like, what? I know what it means to live in three time zones. I travel a lot. And I said, what? Eastern, you know, India time zone, what? And he goes, no. Past, present, future. He says, my problem is I'm dealing in the past with decisions that were made that weren't documented. That's technical debt. There are decisions, there's technology that's kind of roaming around and doing unholy things. And then he goes, I have to honor the present and make things, fix things now. And then I have to think of the future, what's going on. The promise of infrastructure as code, if done right, allows you to have documented those things. So there again is a single source of truth, but also that when you encounter technical debt, it's actually been something that's been documented on some level. Imagine that. Imagine being able to discover it relatively easily rather than trying to do looking for symptoms.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's a great way to, great. That's a perfect explanation of my question. Oh,
I try hard. It's funny because I've seen people in federal governments worldwide, not just the U.S. federal government, but over in Europe, Australia, they're struggling with many of these same things. But it's not just there in highly regulated environments. Yeah. I was talking to a woman in Australia who works. She was very demure about it. She said, I don't work for a big bank. It's only the fourth largest in Australia. And I'm like, that's a big bank. In a highly regulated environment, you'd think, well, we don't have problems like, James, what you've been describing the last few minutes. But she would differ. And I know people who've worked for ING, who worked for Nestle, not a bank, but outside of that sector. All of them in their own ways have regulations, and they're all struggling with this. And they're all looking to see if automation can kind of help rationalize their environments.
Yeah, I think that just really, again, walks perfectly into my next question. You know, if we're looking a bit on the practitioner side, you know, let's just use an example of junior admins. You know, they're using ChatGPT to spit out that raw Python or bash scripts to, you know, to fix those servers on the fly. And so, you know, why is standardizing on discipline declarative infrastructure as code tool chains making it critical for operational stability right now, like even ever than ever before?
You know, I think what it does is it allows people, instead of the technical tail wagging the dog, instead of saying, well, look, here's the technology or the platform we're using, and we have to think according to the platform, which there are versions of that have gone on for decades, right? Instead of that, it actually allows IT workers to say, look, I can handle the technical side of it. I can use AI to create the scripts for Chef and Puppet or Ansible or whatever. I'm going to test them, of course. I'm not going to just take scripts and then deploy them into the world. But here's the thing. It allows the tech folks to then, instead of wasting time on trying to tame a platform, they've already got the platform kind of figured out. And now they can turn around and start doing critical thought and expressing curiosity. And this is really important. They can actually talk to the business leaders about what they want. And then they can translate that easily into scripts that are then can be really properly managed. And instead of scripts that are just kind of one-off and sitting there and we don't know what they've done and what they're doing, and it's kind of this mystery in there, it's like, no, we've got it all in a system that's fairly rational. When I say a system, you're using Ansible scripts. You know where they sit. You know how to modify them. See, that allows you to have those business discussions. So it really almost allows you as an IT worker to think strategically. And it's not even almost. It allows you to actually become part of the strategic discussion of an organization's mission, whether that be an organization that's a government or military or financial institution, whatever kind of industry you're in.
Yeah, I really love that, you know, that really focus on the curiosity part. You know, because I think when you think about AI a lot, you think, oh, I just write these flashy prompts or I can have AI do whatever I want. And then, you know, we're done. We can just move on. But I think really what you're saying here is AI is allowing IT professionals to be more curious and deeper. That's a
you bet. There's instead of spending time with fingers at keyboards and things like that, what they're doing is they're able, the smart ones are saying, look, I'm saving time there. I still have to review the code. I'm sorry. I once heard a professor say, oh yeah, AI is so good. I don't even have to review the code anymore. And I literally did a Picard kind of face palm like this, like that just leads us to the same problems of technical debt of, you know, programmers creating code and not reviewing it, and then we end up with zero-day attacks. But it does allow us to free up time to do better code review and to do better discussions. So I was recently talking to a worker who's an infrastructure as code person, and she was saying, well, I'm not sure a lot of people realize how workflows and processes, how we get things done, have changed over the last few years. And so it's that curiosity to understand, well, how, Susan, when you get something done, how has that changed? And it's funny because there are a lot of people who have theoretical ideas or, well, here's how usually it works. They're discovering that it doesn't usually work that way anymore. And it's that curiosity that helps you map your technology to the reality of what your business needs. And that gap can be critical. And if it's too much of a gap, you end up with a form of technical debt that really just means your technology is not doing the work that you thought it does. And that's terrible. You don't want that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of leaning into that a little bit more. I mean, that was a great explanation, but, you know, for tech leaders listening, you know, really kind of answering the why, shifting from running a bunch of commands to managing that's the state of your system. Why is that such a critical leap forward for modern infrastructure?
I think it has to do with the fact that things are moving so quickly. If we need to implement AI right away, and we need to take that AI stack and then add it into what we've already been doing, it's always been that okay, how do we add that to what we're doing? And if you don't know what your base is of your base of technology and the different capabilities that you have, dropping AI in there, it's like, you know, what do we do with it? If you have a really good understanding of what your technical base is, then adding AI to it or adding additional capability, you'll find that it cuts down on deployment time for developers. It cuts down on cybersecurity risk, because now you can actually do cybersecurity analytics, or I should say more of a governance. You can apply governance more easily.
Yeah. So I kind of want to switch gears a little bit here and talk a little bit about career trajectory, you know, to kind of bring this whole discussion home. You know, I know CompTIA just recently launched the AutoOps Plus certification. Right. And, you know, for those who don't know, it validates an IT pro's ability to automate, secure, and optimize IT operations. You might have a better explanation of that for me than I do, but, you know, for those IT pros, I'm sure you have something to say about that, but, you know, for those IT pros listening who want to future-proof their careers, you know, why is mastering this exact intersection of automation and security like the ultimate path for them right now?
So it really is a fantastic path, because these days, if you're going to configure systems, one of the best ways, it's not the only way, you're still going to walk up and have to work on systems, but it's just another way that you can engage with technology through systems configuration using basically infrastructure as code. It's another way that you can interact with systems. So it speeds things up. It also allows you to understand what continuous integration is and what continuous delivery is. So the idea that you can say, look, I know the environment of how to apply concepts of understanding the artifacts, the servers, the systems, the secrets. When I say secrets in terms of passwords, in terms of important workflows, how you make that work. And then it allows you to kind of do continuous delivery of these, so that instead of, okay, we have process bottlenecks and things, we can actually speed things up. Because one of the things I've found over the years is that business leaders have become increasingly impatient, and probably properly so, impatient of various bottlenecks and how long it takes to implement something. And see, this allows you to be more relevant and more precise and more intentional as you go in as a technologist.
Yeah, you know, I think we could sit here and talk about this all day. It's a great subject. I love listening to your thoughts, and I'm sure everyone listening in does as well. And I just really want to thank you so much for joining me here
You.
today. It's been a great conversation. And to our listeners out there, you know, if you like this podcast, please give it a like and share it with your friends and colleagues. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to AI Impact Smart Brief. Thanks so much. Have a great day.